listening to The Nasty Table,
the premier source for tabletop role-playing actual play. Now come on in, relax, and pull up a seat to The Nasty Table.
Different braids of glass blades scattered in the snow where this creature was felled, several adult-sized teeth.
So yeah, actually, take that back. I want to start fucking flying down the highway.
You got a good reason to be going this fast?
Sir, you can't be back here.
Car accident.
You know what I mean?
No.
I'll get this faxed over to Christensen's pharmacy.
Anyone else?
But no, you're going to Christensen. That's what it is. That's what it has to be. Hand-picked.
Megalomania.
Looking down at the body, you can see the cadaver of Nancy Gossman laying there dissected.
Nah, we've been gone. The whole
yeah, they wanted to give Jerry X-rays.
Sorry.
We've been gone.
Do you know?
I'm gonna go pee.
They come to kill you, and there's a gun to your head,
you
and you're just like,
yeah, do it! Do it! Pull the trigger! You pussy.
He grabs the gun?
I told you
fucking
say it.
That's the
Sarge really spit on it?
That's crazy.
I can't believe you remembered the episode and like the timestamp for it. That's awesome.
Sarge really spit on it.
I was gonna try to clip it.
That is a wild line.
Without
that's cool though, dude. That's
it's hard to understand because it's like a lot of laughs and him go. And then we all laugh.
They don't know that I do this.
I think, I honestly think now a year into doing all this podcast stuff, I think that we are past the point where we need to have like context for our shorts. They can be funny to us. I don't really give a fuck.
That's true.
Sarge really spit on it.
That's so savage.
Whoa. So it just winner when we spitting on it.
I didn't like hit the new one since I rerolled.
Jerry has I'm him disorder.
Yeah, I got fucking. I'm doing shit while I have to be handcuffed while I sleep. You're just a douchebag.
Yeah, yours is brutal. I just have like extra confidence now.
I'm just really him.
Permanent liquid confidence.
I just popped my collar and walked down the street now.
Oh, you're just that one scene in Spider-Man 3.
Yeah, where he's walking down in all black and he's like dancing.
That's just Jerry.
That's funny. Give me a recap of this last session, please.
Road trip.
And you know, if we're going by official shit, Nancy's son is not officially confirmed dead.
Ricky ain't dead.
Ricky not dead?
Dude, Ricky probably ain't
That's the only thing I'm hanging this case on.
I'd be willing to put money. He's like...
No.
He's definitely not dead.
No. I agree. I don't think he's dead.
Like, of all the things to bet on, he's alive.
I think he's alive.
So...
Not for long, but...
No, not for long.
All right.
He's going to die the second we see him.
Oh, yeah.
I know
he's
that...
sitting below a little throne at some Dan Winter's knee and then blows his head off the second we walk in the room.
We have, perhaps, through this narrative, stepped away from the case. But, like, all right, put yourselves in, like, a prosecutor's shoes. What's the case? Who's going to jail for what?
Us for our murders.
I mean, we do have drugs and guns at the Golden King, right?
But that's state, or that's not state. That's like Minneapolis
child
stuff.
Pornography.
I mean, I think and that's the thing.
But that's
that
not illegal. Child pornography. True.
The video of Dan Winters
kidnapping
eating a
is,
child.
Yeah,
I think is a big true. Thing that RJ said is at the
it's facts. Or well, Adkins was a big help in like. All right, now at least we have a file with some on paper incriminating type stuff. It might not even be pertinent to exactly what we're doing, but, like, there's some solid shit, right?
Is Atkins, like, the only person that we could just straight up arrest right now and charge a crime to?
Yeah, he's just admitted to all his shit.
Yeah, he admitted to everything. That's facts. Oh, my God.
We don't even know where he is. We have nobody. We have nobody. We have nothing. Let's start from square one again.
Jesus. We could book LaRocca randomly. Just be like, we found him, and we know he's a mob guy. We got him.
Could we? Is Mark Cannon, could he be fucking? I mean, he leaked private information from
he Mark would definitely Cannon. Get kicked off the force, but typically in that case, and you probably experienced this before, they don't go to jail for that. They'll get kicked off the force, but, like, cops protect cops.
Yeah, yeah.
Back to blue, buddy, you know?
Back to blue, yeah. Mark Cannon was Roy's ex-partner.
I think it said we just take Will Newton for serving minors.
Well, if you want to go...
That's the end of this case.
I was going to say, if you want to go all the way back, you can book Mark for fucking killing Bobby Tillman, truthfully.
Right.
Yeah.
I think we should.
Feels like
we dip
I
out
think
of every.
We should. Good thing we killed all those people.
You could just fucking do just call it here. Just like go home with your fucking bloodied stump and just be like, this is the case.
Grace We're close. All character witnesses for what a good person Bobby is. Who's a great family
I think
man.
I think we said it at one point that like Bobby Tillman was a Christ figure. I think that was sent at the table.
That's I think it was me because I was talking about it. I was like, well, there's like two sides of this, and I was trying to get Bobby in my head to like. Be the hero of the whole campaign.
Yeah, I mean, it's a. At this point, the case has been so muddled and so complicated by outside factors that, like, you may have lost sight of this case. Does the case matter, right? So, what matters to your character at this very moment, right now?
He mentioned that the Fat Force had been making some noise. So. Whatever that means, but...
You're sitting in State Patrol in the middle of bumfuck nowhere behind a desk, and some guy comes in and goes,
dude, guess what happened in Aseo?
And you're like, what's Aseo? And you're like, dude, it's right outside of Minneapolis, and these cops came in, and dude, they're called the Fat Force, and they killed two guys, and it was crazy. Lieutenant said one thing when the Fat Force was formulated. It said, this isn't going to be a big deal. Unless you guys make a scene.
He said it. Because I clipped that part, too, about us coming up with a name where you're like, where me and him are like, fat, and you're like, the Fat Force, and it's sick, and then you do the, if you're with the Fat Force, buckle up.
Oh, yeah, I saw it.
We're riding. It's fucking sick. But he says it so many times. He's like, yeah, like, as long as you don't make waves, as long as you're just monitoring these people, you're just going to get a recording on the payphone, and then that's it. You guys are going to leave.
If you're with the Fat Force, you better buckle the fuck up.
That I kind of like about Delta Green is it lets me play your characters a little bit. And I will say, and this is the God's honest truth, I have only handpicked one disorder for this entire campaign. There's only been one disorder where I picked for myself because I'm like, I want this character to have this disorder.
Wow. Told you.
Bipolar disorder, random roll on a table. Fugues, random roll on a table.
Then you did
a- Megalomania, I rolled.
You did a hell of a job writing that part.
Rolled the dice. That's one of the challenges that I enjoy is like, I'm like, all right, fuck, all right, how do
stop.
I make how do
Your
I make this
way
fit?
Too fucking big.
You know what I mean? What?
Your head's way too fucking big.
I'm just saying. I like to, that's one of the reasons why I like to roll is because it gives me a challenge and I try my best to make it fit. Do you think that there's a disorder that would have fit Jerry more?
Well, I can't think of every fucking disorder, so I don't know.
I mean, there's like obsession or
and that would have fit
know,
too, but I think that
amnesia
because of the situation, it fits really well because Jerry's already like wondering about like he's been like kind of like slowly coming on to like the like, am I being protected by something?
And also to
so much so that he tests it out, basically.
From day one.
Dies.
From day
comes
one.
Comes back. It makes sense.
When Jerry was kind of born as a character, he's narcissistic.
Mm-hmm.
He thinks he should be lieutenant.
Mm-hmm.
I think it fits awesome. That's why I'm glad that there's,
oh, yeah,
there's a couple other ones on the table that would have kind of fit that kind of like vibe
mm-hmm.
good, too. This is one of them, and I'm really glad that it came up.
Yeah, I just have faith that Lang has put them in the best fucking spot possible. I just know it.
Yeah. Beach episode.
Yeah.
It's
It's gonna be like that shit when you see the guys from like World War II. They're on the island for like 35 years. They still think the war is going on.
You guys never go back to find them. And Aaron Lang comes out like an old man. Where's RJ? Where'd he go?
LaRocca finally kicked the can.
He's been slowly dying for 25 years.
It's great luck.
So. Within the morgue, Caleb and Ray find themselves face to face with the corpse of Nancy Gossman. Before you stands Dr. Davy Jones, who is analyzing the body. Now you are getting a decent look at it. Mangled. This was not a peaceful death. The top cranium has been smashed to bits, her face nearly unrecognizable. Davy Jones looks towards you, says, "Did you read any of the reports? Did you get any information? Can you help me out here, please?"
This is the first time I've even heard about this or seen it. We've been gone all day. We were up in Minneapolis.
So then what are you here for?
I think Davey would have seen Caleb kind of blow him off at first and then mm-hmm. turn around when
yeah.
the mention of Nancy mm-hmm. wide-eyed.
Yeah.
Well, we found some things. He's got a bag, and I reach in my pocket, and I got a little,
And he kind of, like, looks at it, and... Okay. So you don't know anything about this?
What's this, gunshot?
Best I can tell, suicide. I talked to one of the officers who responded to the scene. He's the one who called me. I took a look over the body. He says that she just kind of made her way over to one of the windows on the stairs. You have to catch up with him, but she jumped out of a window, three stories, head first.
When did this...
A few hours ago.
Do you...
When?
Time of death we have roughly at 10 o'clock tonight. Looking at a nearby clock, it is 12:03 a.m. Welcome to Friday, January 8th.
Is that 1 week?
Roughly, yeah. I believe so.
It's only been a year, boys.
7 days and 365. I mean, I'm looking over this body best I can. I'm trying to extrapolate anything else that could have possibly happened. I'm going to cut her open. I've already started a little bit, but whoever, you know, the officer on the scene told me that there has to be something more, something for me to look at. I don't know.
Do you know the officer? Did you get a badge?
Lang?
Fuck. He didn't say anything about the kid. Did he?
I don't know. You'd have to check with the other officer there.
Wait,
or
what?
Him.
What?
We'll catch up with him.
Sure.
I know you got your hands full. But there's one more batch of pictures we gotta get.
Okay. If you leave them here, I should be able to get them done by the morning. And hey, whatever happened in Aseo with those bodies, just... tell me what you want the reports to say on that kind of stuff, okay?
Well, the gas station, that should be... that report's all done, right?
Not just yet. They called in my counterpart, but I caught wind of it a little earlier and stepped in, so I was able to take over a decent amount of that. That's not officially filed yet, and obviously it's not going to be. I got your guys' back, so just tell me what you want those reports to say. And obviously that's not on the forefront of your mind, and that can wait. But as far as this goes, and he kind of like nods over towards Nancy, who you recognize it is Nancy, to make that clear. I mean, if you really think that it's worth me cutting this woman open like that other officer thought, I can. But if you want me to develop the pictures instead, I can get that done, have that done by early morning. It's up to you.
Davey, you know I mean this with no disrespect, but I'll be back here in the morning with the pictures if that's all right.
You got it. But to make it clear, I can do this body or develop a couple of those pictures. The officer made it seem imperative that I perform some sort of autopsy.
Yeah, no, you got to. I know what we saw. This is just more... You know those pictures that were damaged? That had the good stuff on them? This next batch... This should have the good stuff on it, man.
He kind of like looks idly off, and his gaze finds the body. What's good about it?
Progress. Not much else.
Towards what? That's not philosophical. I mean, that's, you know.
Hopefully, less of this. As I motion towards Nancy.
Okay. Well, I'll get to work on this. You asked about the body that was delved out of the river. And he nods over towards one of the, like retractable kind of slide out drawers. It's over there.
I give Nancy one last look and then I head over to the drawer. Mm-hmm.
And he steadies himself with his scalpel and he looks towards Ray. Ray, what's your expression? What are you looking like?
Kind of antsy. This isn't really where I want to be right now.
Mm-hmm. He looks back towards Nancy and begins to make an incision. What are you doing, Caleb?
Whatever you're doing, I'll kind of come over to you and, you know, if you're, like, trying to match things up, I'll give you a hand, get another pair of eyes.
Yeah, just for brevity's sake, that's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to match up with these bones that I have in this duffel bag from Doug's apartment. If I can get any matching bones, because I know that there's not a full skeleton of the boy that we pulled out of the river, just to see if there's, it would match up that the bones that I have and this body would be the same.
First of all, you slide out the drawer to expose a body bag.
Unzip said body bag.
Bad move. The smell quickly wafts up to your nose, and it is indescribable. It fills you with almost as much terror as what has occurred previously this night. Roll sanity as you look upon what can only be described as a mashed, mangled corpse, rotting, even though it has been held to quite cold temperatures, very, very awfully.
That is a 9 on a 31.
You're okay, but looking at this, what's more unsettling to you, what kind of stirs your soul, is the fact that this is, for all intents and purposes, unrecognizable as a human body. It is soup. It is a stew. It is a mash of flesh and different body parts kind of coagulated, and certain parts have hardened due to the cold. It should not be together. It's horrible. You spend some time trying to match up. Quickly, it becomes apparent that the size of the bone in your hand and the size of the bones in this drawer are different. The one in your hand is quite larger than the one in this bag. You don't think that this bone belongs to this corpse. And you feel pretty confident in saying that.
I I stuff the bones that I got from from Doug's back into the duffel bag. Zip up. Campbell. Slide the door shut. Say quietly to Ray, you what? Why the hell was laying on shift?
I don't know.
Yeah,
I mean, I trust him, but, I don't know, I'm sure he's got a good reason for whatever he did.
Yeah, if you want to get to the bottom of that, I'm done here.
Alright, let's, you want to go to the station?
I'm with you.
Alright.
Over to the station. You guys exit as you can hear this sound. I mean, it's a weird sound because it's not super loud, it's not super heavy, but just this gentle ripping of skin as Davy Jones gets to work butchering. Make your way out to the white car, which has been sufficiently hidden well enough. Make your way inside and begin driving towards the police station.
Yep.
Okay, making your way to the police station. Jerry, back in the hospital, the doctor enters with a folder in his hands, and he says, Mr. Flores, it is a few broken ribs, and it seems as though they went untreated, which is a problem. What's unfortunate here is it looks like that these ribs, when they broke, they may have punctured some muscles therein, which is lucky because it may have hit a kidney. But I have to tell you some unfortunate news. I need everyone to leave the table except for Jerry. The doctor kind of straightens his posture and he says, like I said, it's lucky it didn't hit your kidneys, but this x-ray showed us something which may concern you. There is a growth roughly 2 centimeters in diameter near that site on your kidney. Likely cancer.
On my kidney?
Yes, and Mr. Flores, it is spreading. There's plenty of treatment options for it. We have a decent amount of options for you, but you'll have to come back for a biopsy.
Okay.
It's a black nodule. It's very small, but there seems to be some spreading.
It looks new?
It seems to have been there for some time, but like I said, unless you come back for a surgical biopsy, we'll be able to properly diagnose it and set out a treatment plan for you. I'm not sure exactly what's in there until I am able to take a sample of it. On your kidney and spreading closer to your stomach. Because it's aggressive in this way, it kind of gives us a little bit of concern. It is making its way up, so we are concerned about it reaching your lungs, your heart, your stomach.
Okay.
But you are very, very lucky. If you didn't come in for this x-ray, we wouldn't have looked at that site. And on that site is where this nodule is. Mr. Flores, you should be very, very, very thankful that you came in and were able to catch it. And I won't say that we've caught it early, but we've caught it at a decent enough time in this timeline for us to be able to set out some very decent treatment options for you. When you leave, I'll have the receptionist set you up with a follow-up appointment. We'll be able to fit you in sometime next week.
Jerry just like slowly looks at the doctor and smiles. All right, thank you.
He looks at you for a while. Additionally, for the broken ribs, I'm prescribing some lidocaine patches. Do you have a pharmacy that you frequent?
Yeah, Walgreens.
Walgreens?
Yeah.
On the corner of Happy and Healthy?
Mm-hmm.
I'll get that set up for
you.
Thank
you.
I'll
get that set right
that way. Unfortunately, there's nothing else I can prescribe for you at this time other than the lidocaine to manage the pain. I do offer this idea of getting ample rest. Try not to move. Try not to aggravate it. The more you move, the worse it's going to get.
Okay.
But in the meantime, these patches may be able to offer you some level of comfort and maneuverability.
Thank you.
Gives you a nod.
So next week.
And he stops, turns around. When you leave, speak with the receptionist. She'll get you scheduled sometime next week, yes.
Okay.
Gives you a nod and leaves.
And Jerry looks at the light. And dozes off.
So, Roy, the... It's fucking freezing out there, isn't there?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's cold down here.
Yeah. Roy, the doctor, comes back in. You're all set. I got those prescriptions set off. If there's anything else you need, you know, just give us a call. We'll be able to set you up with that, okay?
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Does this guy have, like, a name tag?
Question no. Mark? He doesn't have a name tag.
What's your name?
Micah.
Micah.
Dr. Lee. I don't know why I gave you my first name. That's grossly unprofessional.
Micah.
You guys are gonna fuck, dude. You're like, Roy, you look pretty good. We had no hand.
I know the other gentleman that you came in here with. He's right across the hall. He should be leaving rather soon as well.
All right. Okay. Thanks very much, Dr. Lee.
Sure.
And I get up.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
And you see, kind of, as you get up, you can see him walking towards Jerry's door. Jerry, he opens the door. Mr. Flores, you're all clear. We got that prescription sent off. You can head out whenever you're ready.
All right, thank you.
Would you like any help getting toward the door?
Please.
Absolutely. And he kind of stands up, and then he puts you down, and he says, actually, hold on a moment. He steps back out. Roy, you see him step out. Quickly go to a closet off to the right, come back with a cane. Hands you the cane. This should help you move a little more comfortably and not put too much pressure on your right side there. With this, you should be able to, you know, not aggravate it as much.
Yeah. All right. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And so I like wait for Dr. Lee to walk away, and then like kind of I imagine as we're like starting to walk out of the door, I'm like, so what happened?
You notice he has a cane.
Yeah, I'm like, something internal going on?
Yeah, it broke like 3 ribs. Almost hit my kidney. He just told me to, you know, take it easy. And I got a prescription. I need to go get it. Walgreens.
Corner of Happy and Healthy.
Is it actually Walgreens?
Fuck yeah, baby.
Gotta go to Walgreens.
You guys make your way out, and as you're passing, the receptionist looks up towards Jerry. Mr. Flores, when would you like to schedule your follow-up?
As soon as possible.
I can fit you in next Tuesday.
Perfect.
4:00?
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
We'll be expecting you. Thanks.
All right.
What's your follow-up for? Just general check?
Are we, like, walking away?
Yeah, at this point, you guys have, like, cleared the automatic doors that open up into, like, the... Oh, my God, there's a word for it, bro. The area, like, it's like an airlock on the way out. There's like a religious...
Vestibule.
Vestibule! Yeah. Vestibule! Vestibule! Yeah,
did they have automatic doors in the 70s?
Yeah. I don't know if that's true or not, but they do here.
We'd be tiling vestibules, you know what I mean.
You guys get to split a program point between the two of you. If there is ever... write this down. If there's ever something that you two are doing at the same time...
Serious?
Yes, 100%. For helping me with vestibule. If there's ever something that you guys are doing at the same time, you can use a program point on it. Vestibule. Make your way past the vestibule outside into the cold night.
Okay, and I kind of like look out and see if the car is still there.
The white car is no longer there. The state trooper, officer, police cruiser is no longer there. But you do see off in the distance a Linwood police cruiser that has been parked in there. You noticed it when you pulled up, and you see it again now.
Okay, yeah, I'll walk up to that with Jerry, slowly.
Okay. It's empty.
How's the hand feeling?
I was going to say...
So, pain-wise, Roy, you feel good.
Nice.
This the second injection, the second local anesthesia that they gave you is working wonders for you. It feels quite good. It also feels more comfortable to have this bandaged as tightly as they have, and you're kind of walking and feeling fairly painless. Jerry, it's harder. The cane makes it way better. And you didn't think it would because, like, it's not your leg, but being able to kind of put all your weight on one side instead of on the side that has been affected definitely helps you out a little bit.
All right. And I go past the hand.
Well, the hand's gone. Wrist. It's kind of just all on the wrist right now, I guess. It's kind of weird.
It's going to be
all
right, though?
I mean, yeah, the doctor said it'll be fine. I don't have a follow-up. So, should be all right.
Good.
Yeah.
Where are we walking to? The Towards car?
This police cruiser, which... Yeah. You can tell. You don't have to get all the way up there to see that it's empty.
Okay. Do I have, like, a... Are there, like, universal keys for the police cruisers?
Absolutely not.
Okay, I want to walk back and use their phone into the hospital.
Okay.
Yeah. And,
You asked to use the phone, and they're like, sure.
Yeah.
Okay, where do you place a call?
I want to call the station.
Okay. Linwood PD.
Hey, this is Sergeant McNeil. I'm at the St. Mary's Linwood Hospital.
Roy, it's Gaines.
Gaines. Hey, man. How's it going?
Good. What's going on with you? I got a call from Caleb earlier about something about going to that house, and then we went to that house, and then, I mean, all the stuff with Nancy. You said you're at the hospital now?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm here with Jerry. You mind picking us up?
Sure. Middleton should still be there. I don't think that he's gotten back yet unless he's en route.
Okay. Did I see him? Did I see Middleton at all?
Not on this first floor, no.
Okay. You mind if I put the phone down for a second?
Sure.
I'm not hanging up. I put it on the desk or the counter or whatever, and I go to the receptionist.
Yeah.
And I'm like, can I you page for Officer Middleton, please?
Sure.
Paging Dr. Middleton to the first floor.
Doctor? Who the fuck is...
Sorry, I'm so used to saying doctor.
Paging Officer Middleton, Officer Middleton to the first floor, please.
Threw me off guard.
I'm new here. A few moments pass before the elevator dings, and a frazzled-looking Officer Middleton, who you have only seen maybe once before. Ray has had more interactions with this guy. This is the man who has been stationed here to watch Nancy. Comes out, notepad in hand. Detective.
Hey, Middleton.
Hey.
Look, we're about to get a ride back to the station. I don't know, you busy upstairs with Nancy? You mind taking us back?
Well, busy enough. I think I've taken all the reports that I need to. We got the crime scene kind of all taped up on the back there. I don't know if you saw it when you pulled in, but...
Crime scene for a baby? It's...
Huh?
It's not common practice if there's a miscarriage to establish a crime scene.
No, for Nancy.
What happened to Nancy?
You don't know? Nancy Gossman is dead.
I started walking upstairs, where he came from.
Mm-hmm. And he kind of said, wait. We're all good up there. She didn't die up there. She died downstairs. She fell. She jumped out. Third floor.
I walk back to the phone. I'm not even talking to Middleton. I walk back. Yeah. I'm like, Gaines, get like three guys over here right now. And I hang up. I don't give a fuck.
Uh-huh, yeah.
And I walk back and I'm like, all right, I'm going upstairs. And
We already had this all taken care of. This was 2 hours ago, detective.
Who had this all taken care of?
We had me and Aaron Lang responded. We had two...
Is Jerry hearing this?
Jerry's just kind of like standing there, like crip walking with his crutch. I don't know.
I'm literally like just standing there, like straight faced.
Who else?
We had Aaron Lang come down. We had Warren Wright. Longo came down too. After he was done at whatever, he had something to do before that. But then he came down here.
Okay.
2 entire hours.
I'm walking upstairs. I'm not saying anything. I'm walking upstairs.
Okay. Up the stairs or up the elevator?
To the elevator.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And he steps in the elevator with you. I took reports. I took all this information. We have a decent idea of what happened.
Okay. Run it through to me. Run it through to me.
Well, 10 o'clock tonight. That's around what they have, the time of death. Nancy was up. She was walking around. She wanted to get some air with one of the nurses. One of the nurses was escorting her. I was sitting there and I saw her. I talked to the nurse and the nurse, you know, was like, we're just going to take her to get some air, get some, you know, footsteps in, kind of stretch out. Anyway, what happened was I heard screaming from the stairwell. Went over there, saw that. We can't find the nurse anywhere. We have a written description of whoever it was, but no one there, none of the nurses who are working, none of the doctors recognize this person. And we can't find her anywhere. Nancy apparently must have climbed out the window, jumped out, and landed headfirst. There's no signs whatsoever that this was forced. I called it in. Aaron Lang responded. He got here pretty quick. Got the scene, got one of the coroners down here, told him some stuff. I don't know. They talked without me being able to hear it.
No one knows who the nurse is, and you cannot find the nurse, correct?
Yeah. We're considering putting out an APB, but Longo put a hold on it based off of her description. I don't know.
You said her face smashed in?
Yeah. She landed head first.
Okay, where is she?
Nancy?
Yeah.
The morgue.
Yeah, I walk up. I still want to, well, not walk upstairs, but is the elevator done?
Yeah, and then you guys ding on the third floor.
Okay. Yeah, and I'm walking over to the room.
Yeah, and you step into the room and it's sterile. Much as you've seen it before.
It looks like a shattered window?
No.
Just open.
No. Huh. Window's closed.
Okay.
Middleton is just kind of standing there.
Okay. And I turn. Fuck. They weren't letting anyone in here, and some nurse with no name came in this room?
No, she didn't come in. Nancy wanted to move around. The nurse came in, talked to her, took her, and they walked to the stairwell.
Oh,
that's where this happened.
Okay. Is the baby still downstairs?
As far as we know, yeah.
All right, let's go. Back to the elevator.
Okay. Do you say, okay, let's go to Middleton?
Yes.
Okay.
And I want to walk to the stairwell.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to take the stairs down.
Okay. You start walking down the stairs. Jerry, are you taking these stairs? And Jerry, what are you doing during all of this?
This whole time, I didn't think that I'm not with them.
Oh, okay. You stay down in the lobby?
Still at the lobby next to the phone. And I'm just like leaned up against the wall. Just blank face. Just like. Mm-hmm.
You go to the stairwell, start taking the stairs down. And you can see kind of as you open this door off to the left, there's kind of a platform that leads to a window. That window is closed at this point. And Middleton says, this is apparently where it happened.
Okay.
Fuck.
All right. Lieutenant knows. You said Lieutenant knows.
Yeah, we were going to put out an APB on the description, but he said to hold off on it.
All right. Yeah, all right, let's keep going. Keep walking down the stairs.
Mm-hmm. Walking down the stairs, second floor. Second and a half, first. Down to the ground level. Jerry, as you're sitting there, you see a Linwood Falls police cruiser pull up, and Dwayne Gaines step out. Roy, you make your way to the bottom there.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm going downstairs because I
want to go to the basement.
Yes, isn't the basement okay?
Yep. You keep going.
Yeah.
Keep going down to the basement. Make your way down, and you're kind of in that same area that you were before, where there's the like longer hallway with not a lot down there.
Mm-hmm. And there was a nurse here earlier.
It leads to what looks like a clerk desk kind of set up at the end there, but it's like one of those hole in the walls where you kind of like step up and there's a door to the left, which seems to be probably locked. It's a metal door, and there's someone behind the desk there.
Okay. Is it the same guy?
He looks up. Hello? And it is the same guy.
Hey. Badge shown. Pull the badge out. Sergeant Roy McNeil. I'm here with, fuck. Jerry's not with me, right?
No.
Okay. All right. I'm here to see the unborn child of Nancy Gossman.
Yeah. It's, been cremated at the request of the mother.
Right. Okay. All right. Walk back upstairs to Gaines.
Okay.
Yeah.
Stepping up. Jerry, so you see Gaines pull up. He makes his way in, steps up towards you. Detective Flores.
Hey, Gaines.
Hey, Roy called me to pick you guys up.
Yeah, I think he's in the basement right now. I don't know what for. Nancy's dead, by the way.
I'm very aware, I know.
Oh.
Roy, you immediately come up and you see Jerry and Gaines talking to each other.
Hey, Gaines.
Roy.
What the fuck's going on, man? What happened?
So we got a call from Middleton about all this happening. He was stationed here. We are able to figure out that apparently Aaron Lang responded, who we have not seen. Okay, I want to make that clear. Officer Aaron Lang is officially AWOL. We have no idea where he is or what he's doing. He showed up before we even got here. Copied down Middleton's notes, took the kid, and left.
Who let him do this? And I look at Middleton.
He's an officer responding. What else am I supposed to do?
He wasn't on shift, was he?
Okay, to be fair, Aaron Lang's shift has not made much sense over these last couple of days. Am I wrong to say that?
All right, we'll talk about this later. Jerry, you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Alright. Last thing I want to do is I want to see where she landed. And then let's get out of here.
So, rather quickly, you make your way to the opposite side of the building, and it's possible to see this when you pull in. It's on the opposite side. Blood spattering, kind of spread out, crime tape set up. Are you looking for anything in particular here?
I'm looking for, yeah, just any remains. Any signs other than blood, right, that she was here.
Roll search.
.18 on a .68.
Chipped teeth, chunk of hair, kind of caked into the pavement.
There's still teeth on the ground?
No, it's like with your background, you're able to tell that it is probably like a shaving of teeth or some sort of bone.
Okay.
Middleton is standing there with his hands on his hips, and Gaines is kind of standing next to Jerry if you follow.
Gaines, can you do me a favor?
Yeah.
Can you put everything on the ground here in a plastic Ziploc bag? I don't care if it's dust. Can you get it in this bag?
You got it.
All right, Middleton, you're going to take us home.
Okay. Middleton makes his way back. Dwayne Gaines begins stepping up with, looks like he takes out a kit that kind of has like tweezers and like little kind of tiny stuff and begins like crouching down. Middleton begins walking back. Aaron Lang is, he's still with you guys, right?
He was. We sent him away, man. We sent him away. He's not with us. He hasn't been with us.
Okay. Makes his way towards his police cruiser, which was the one that you were looking at originally. Gets in the driver. Who gets in passenger? And who gets in the back?
Also shotgun.
I get in the back.
And he looks over at Roy. Where to?
Back to the station.
Begins driving towards the station, picking up with Ray and Caleb. You guys are leaving the morgue. Where are you heading?
We were going to the station.
To the station. A beautiful symphony as two cars pull into the station at the same exact time. But this would probably be Caleb and Ray finding their parking spot before Roy, Jerry, and Officer Middleton find their spot. Caleb and Ray, you guys find your spot, park, get out, begin walking towards the entrance of the station. As another car pulls in, you turn around to see who Ray recognizes as Bill Middleton, and in the passenger seat, Sergeant Roy McNeil. Middleton parks, looks towards Roy. Do you want me back at the hospital? You want me here?
Yeah, why don't you stick around here, at least until Gaines gets back.
Okay.
All right. Get out the car.
So you guys see Caleb and Ray walking up towards the front door.
Okay. Yeah, I'm like, what's up, guys? Walking up.
You guys all fall in. You guys see Roy has his stub kind of bandaged very, very nicely. Jerry's walking with a cane, kind of looking towards the ground as he walks.
I open the door for both of them.
Mm-hmm. And they make their way in. Roy, I'm going to give you a chance because you had a pretty long car ride. Are you trying to hide this at all? Do you have anything in your mind where you want to disguise this injury?
Yeah, absolutely. Got my hands in my jacket pockets.
Right.
So just walking around like that.
Okay. Make your way in. Behind the reception desk, you can see Officer Nate Merritt. He looks up as you guys come in, gives you a nod. Where do you guys head? Because now all four of you are all together. Do you guys say anything before you go in? I don't want to jump ahead of anything.
Yeah, I'm like, did you guys hear?
Nancy?
Yeah.
Yeah, we saw her.
Lieutenant knows. Let's talk with them. You saw her?
Yeah, we stopped at Davies.
Oh, that's good. Okay.
Body parts from Doug's, they don't match the kid. It's an adult.
That kind of makes sense.
I left the teeth with Davey as well. He's gonna take a look at them.
Okay. All right, let's go see what the lieutenant's got to say. Walk on down.
Walking down into the VCU. You step down to see the night shift. You see several members of the night shift, including Mark Cannon, a few others who you guys recognize, and you guys have probably interacted with them. I mean, they're on a different shift, but you still know them. Jeffrey Kirkland, Marvin Ray, and the sergeant of the night shift, who is actually there right now, or originally was the day shift, now the night shift, Tommy Robin, and as well as Captain Galloway is there. Making your way down, you see these people kind of milling about. Few of them who you would expect to be there are not there, probably out on some sort of call or something, but you also see Lieutenant Longo still in his office as well. The first person who looks up is Mark Cannon, who looks up at Roy. Second day in a row, man. You pulling doubles?
How's it going, Mark?
Good. Good. Can't complain. You look kind of rough. You all right?
Yeah, I'm good, man. We just found a dead journalist. Such a shame.
Journalist?
Yeah. Look, I can't really talk too much about the details right now. We're about to go tell the lieutenant, but I'm sure you'll figure that out pretty soon. So.
Sure.
All right. Right hand out of the pocket. Salute. Walk out.
Mm-hmm. Walk towards where you guys going to Lieutenant Longo's office?
Or wherever Lieutenant's at.
Yeah. So he's in his office. Galloway's in his. Galloway kind of like looks up and everybody roll alertness.
'82 on a '71, '96 on an '80, '48 on a '73, '80 on a '74.
Caleb, you're the only one who catches. Imagine everyone else has other things on their mind. Caleb, you see Captain Galloway, who, need I remind you, is above everybody here, and Longo kind of catches a sideways glance at the ripped shirt of Jerry Flores. Just kind of like looks at it, gives it a quizzical look, and then goes back to some paperwork.
I turn before I go into Lieutenant's office, and I put my my duffel bag of bones into the where we're keeping this evidence kind of stored.
Yeah.
But if nobody can see, I take a rib out of the bag.
Yeah, it's easy enough.
Slide it into an inner jacket pocket.
Okay. Longo, who at this point now sees you guys, kind of gives you like this wide-eyed. This is a very interesting expression. Wide-eyed, and then questionable, and then relief. He kind of motions you guys in. He goes, close the door.
Shut it.
Mm-hmm. You guys kind of spread out. There's two chairs there. There's also like cabinets that you can lean on. He looks at you guys. I need to know what the fuck is going on. Like now. This is out of control.
Off the record?
Yeah, off the record. It doesn't matter. I'm trying hard to keep this all together right now. There's a lot of moving parts here, Roy, and I'm trying to, best I can, keep this all coagulated, all right? And it's getting hard. It's getting really hard.
Roy's, like, looking around for... I know this is... It's crazy, but he's looking around for any kind of like tape recorders or anything.
Visually?
Just visually. He's not. He's actually sitting down at the lieutenant's desk on the other side, mm-hmm. and then just doing a quick visual.
Roll search and add 40 to it.
103.
No tape recorders.
Okay.
Because I got you guys going to Aseo and causing this whole mess of shit. And then I gotta get Davey on it. Davey brings the bodies down, and then all of a sudden I find out all this other stuff, and then Nancy dies, and Aaron Lang is AWOL. I don't know what the fuck is going on.
Did you, ever find that tape recorder I asked you about?
Which one?
The one from the no-name street house.
No. So we sent some guys out there, and it looks like we tried to beat them there, but we got there, took a brief perimeter... Saw a couple of bodies. Feds came right in.
I walk out of the office.
Walk immediately out of the office. Okay. Close the door behind you or
yes.
No? Okay. Answer these questions for me right now. Where is Aaron Lang? Why was Marcia at the hospital? And what the fuck did you guys do in Minneapolis?
Do not fucking tell me. That nurse.
Description matches her to a T. Don't play with me right now. Who the fuck lets a random no-name? Jesus. That's the only reason we haven't put an APB out on her right now. Is because when that hit my desk, it's Marcia to a T. To a T. Down to her freckles. If you want me to make that APB public, I will. I chose not to. I thought that was the right move. Tell me if that's wrong.
No, it's not yet.
That nurse was Marcia.
Do we have any other witnesses? Anyone?
A dozen practitioners and nurses who saw her and Nancy walking to the stairwell.
Was there anyone that was fucking, I don't know, a few flights up in the stairwell? I don't know. Anyone that was that could hear what was happening in there?
Not to that, no. But that's question two of three. So answer one and three. Where is Aaron Lang?
I'll take that one, Lieutenant. I'm gonna find him tonight.
So he is officially AWOL.
Yes, sir.
Am I reporting that as AWOL?
Give me the night. I'm still on my time off. And I walk out.
Okay. And then left in the office is Roy and Jerry. Question three for you two. What happened in Minneapolis? Because I get a call about No Name Street. I go down there. And meanwhile, you guys are in Minneapolis doing God knows what. I'm giving you as much length on this leash as I can, but you have to understand that I am at risk too.
I understand, Lieutenant.
What did you do? I don't care about Aseo. That's surprisingly fine. But whatever else happened, I need to know about it. I haven't gotten any reports about it, but I know that you guys have spent at least 8 hours in Minneapolis without any kind of information given to me. So tell me what happened, please.
I get up and I close the curtain.
Sure.
Like to the window.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, kind of shutter it close.
And I sit back down. And I pull my left arm out and I just put it on the desk.
Jerry just like looking straight at the ground.
I can't find where my dice are.
He doesn't notice.
Peeling back the curtain, this is a sanity roll.
Lieutenant gives him nux.
What the fuck? What the fuck? Roy! Roy! What happened?
We're in really fucking deep, Lieutenant.
This isn't worth anything.
You know it's too late.
Look at Jerry. Look at his fucking shirt.
He looks over and kind of eyes it up. What happened? Who? Roy, your fucking hand.
We tailed Doug.
What did he do?
I don't even know what happened, man. I don't even know what fucking happened.
It's not a he. And Jerry's like smiling. Just like looking straight. This is beyond the law, Lieutenant.
He puts his hands against his eyes and kind of sits there. No, you guys gotta stop. This is it. This is enough. It's done. No, please. No more. This is fine. Look, Roy, we're handing it off to the feds, and that's fine.
We cannot handle it.
Why? Let them take it. Do whatever they want to do.
I can't deal with that. We cannot. It's no.
We're a part of it now.
Lieutenant, I wish that we were high in that storage room. I wish that we were high tonight. But if you take this to the FBI, I don't know what they're gonna fucking do. I don't know what they're gonna do to my niece. I don't know what they'll do to you. Your family. We saw...
Oh, you saw it too, didn't you? Didn't you see the feds at the house?
We're too late, man. RJ was right.
RJ's gone. Marsha's gone. Nancy's dead. Bobby's dead. What the fuck do you guys do from here? What is the end to this? Are you gonna be cut piece by piece from this? It took your hand first. Is it going to take something else?
It's already got more from it than this hand, I'll tell you that.
So then when does it end? What do you do next? You're fighting against this. This is bigger than you. It's bigger than me. It's bigger than this department. You're right. It's not. It's a part of us, right? This is bigger than a case. I get it. I understand. Okay, I get it. So what do you need?
We need to know where the ranch is at. That's all we need to know. I don't know. Fuck, maybe Lang knows. And the rig like starts to chuckle a little bit. And he stands up and he's like, we just gotta keep moving.
I feel obligated to ask you this again. I've asked you it before. Do you have this under control right now?
I have this more under control than the night shift would. Smiling. He's like, I'll tell you that, Lieutenant. We got no one else that can handle this, except for myself and my three detectives. I promise you that. And wherever the fuck Lang is, if that was Lang in that hospital tonight, well, I hope that was Lang. Start to walk out.
Mm-hmm. And as you're making your way out, official orders, find Lang, find Marcia, find RJ, and find Dan. And then you get to choose whether you want to squeeze or release. And make the right fucking decision.
Yes, sir. Walk out.
Jerry slowly gets up, hobbles out, gets to the door, turns around, and gives Lieutenant a wink, closes the door, and follows.
Exiting the office of Lieutenant Longo, with questions to be answered and people to be found. That's where we're going to pick up next session.
Unplug me, dog.
God damn.
That was kind of juicy. I'm not going to lie.
Thanks for listening to this episode of LFVCU, a Nasty Table production.